Hey, Brendan.
Hey, Dave, how's it going? It's an honor to get the chance to talk to you today.
Oh, come on, man. I'm just a guy. Hey, can you hear me good?
Yeah, I can hear you fairly well, yeah.
Fairly well. Let me take you off speaker because I was trying to do two things at once. Okay, here I am.
Oh, much better.
Does that sound better?
Yeah,
Yeah?
yeah. Well, thank you,
Yeah.
like I said, for joining me today. It's awesome to get the chance
Sure.
to see you guys perform live at the Portneuf Health Trust Amphitheater. I know it's supposed to rain, but have you guys ever performed in the rain by any chance?
We have performed in everything except for molten lava.
I always wonder that because we had a concert happen last year with Falling in Reverse where it rained, and it was actually one of my favorite concerts, despite the whole thing being delayed and all that. I mean, that was a follow-up question. What's the worst weather that you guys performed in, and where was it at?
It would be Paraguay. There was typhoon, or I don't know if they called it typhoon, but it was a typhoon that had come in, and the rain was just pouring down, and it was lightning strikes were hitting the soccer stadium we were playing in, and on the way to the stage, lightning bolt clapped right above where we were walking, and it should have been canceled. I don't know why it wasn't, but the rain rained so hard it was coming down sideways
Jeez.
with all the wind. So it didn't fall on top of the covering of the festival. It blew in from the sides and from the front, a little bit from the back because the backdrop didn't go all the way down to the ground, but it was terrible. And all our gear was ruined from the rain. We had to do so much damage repair.
I know there's been a lot of
Lot.
Shows getting canceled this year due to the rain. The only guy I think I've ever seen perform with thunder and lightning around is Bret Michaels. For some reason, he just didn't give up. There was lightning and thunder going around, and he just continued to perform on stage at the same venue we'll see you at tonight.
Yeah.
I would think at this point, like you said, Paraguay, at this point you have traveled all around the world. Do you ever get the list of tour stops and go, "Oh, I like that place," or, "Oh man, not there again"?
Of course.
I
Of
figured.
course. I do that when I get our guest list.
Oh man, that'd be great because I know like for how long you guys have been touring, it's just at this point I would have like a spreadsheet of all the favorite restaurants all across the globe, and I'm sure you don't get all that much free time with sound check and performing and then having to travel to the next place, but it would be pretty cool just to like go see at least a one restaurant or two wherever you guys are at.
Well, we do that. And as far as keeping a list of all that stuff, we have a thing called our Bible, and it has all of our stuff. And a lot of bands keep that. It's just like a book of stuff that you keep all your numbers that are important in, much like an old Rolodex we used to have. This is something that we keep track of, the guests we have, the people that we like, the places we go that we're not going to go back to. Certain things that we do that we make sure that, because the turnover rate in touring is not really that high, but you do see people come and go, and you got to have some kind of a cliff note for these people to come in and learn stuff, because sometimes they know what to do, sometimes they know what to do, and the band they're working for doesn't. And everything that a guy that knows what to do is doing will seem wrong to a band that doesn't have together.
Deciding the set list, with all the albums you guys have done and put out there, how do you decide what gets played and what doesn't? Do you ever just change it up all of a sudden, play a deep cut to surprise the audience?
Yeah, sure. We do that a lot now. We weren't doing it when Kiko was with us, but Kiko had some issues that were going on in his family life, and he had to go home. And we have an understudy that we hired for Kiko because we didn't know what was going to happen, and we had to keep the tour commitments because we just had too many people that depend on this group. To when we make a tour, we have a lot of people that are counting on it. So when Kiko went home, we got a new guitar player to come in and help us, and he's doing really great. We've been able to go into deep cuts. He plays Marty's solos note for note perfectly. It's great because when I found Kiko's a great guitar player. I think he's better than I am. He was not really a big metal fan before I met him. Timu, the understudy for Kiko, was. So it's a little bit different style playing with the two guys because one guy's got a little bit more flair in one area and the other guy has a little more flair in a different area. But they're both really great guitar players. And I promise anybody that comes tonight is going to see some serious pyrotechnics.
Oh, that's going to be awesome. I did have one listener that was just straight up hoping for a song off of Killing Is My Business. So I was going to make sure to note that and say that to you just because this guy has been adamant. I think he said anything off of that album, really. He was just and all over the comment section talking about that. So
okay. Well, two nights ago, we opened with Hanger and then we followed it up with Mechanics, which is off of Killing. So if we decide to do that tonight, he'll get what he wants. But it's hard. It's hard with, 16 albums. And that's not even including the singles that we did, like Go to Hell and 99 Ways to Die and Angry Again and stuff like that. So we have so many songs to have to pick from. And usually what I do is when we are in the States, we have a different kind of a set list than when we're overseas. And then we try and keep the fact that there's metrics and stuff for the local radio stations and different music outlets. And that shows you, too, what music's popular in that area, which songs our fan base in that area like the most. And then we have an amount of songs that we go by off of the statistics. And then we've got an amount of songs that we put in just because we can. And we pick songs that are a little bit more obscure. Like besides doing Mechanics the other night, we played a song called Hook and Mouth, which is off of So Far So Good So What.
Wow.
And there's a lot of albums in the mid years that aren't getting played anything because there's just not enough time. I mean, if we did a 3-hour concert, that would probably be enough time to play at least one track off of every album. Or if we, our set list right now is around 18 songs, 19 songs. So we realistically could do one track off of every record. But how do you pick one song off a countdown? How do you pick one song off of Rust in Peace? How do you pick one song off of Cryptic Writings? And that's what we've had to do. We're only playing Trust off of Cryptic. It's difficult. I mean, it's a great problem to have. Don't get me wrong. I love the fact that we have too many great songs to play and not enough time. It would be cool if there was a better solution to that, how you could work out playing more songs and fans getting to see more of your art. Plus, there's the horsepower that it burns up going out there. This isn't easy stuff to play. By the time we get towards the end of our set, our drummer's he's starting to get tired after 90 minutes of full-on metal like that. And so I keep that in mind. And same thing with the guitar players. After 90 minutes of playing, you're going to get a little bit of some fatigue.
I can only imagine trying to play like the same songs over and over, but then you guys have so many great songs and so many albums that it's just, like you said, it's hard to choose from. And I would think playing those riffs as intense as they are would get tiring,
I would say,
after 30 minutes rather than 90.
Do you play guitar?
I don't. I tried learning a little bit last year, and I used one of those apps. I think it was like Tap Guitar or something. One of the listeners gave me an acoustic, and I tried learning myself. And then the app the app was all like, "We're going to charge you $100 for the year." And I said, "Well, I can't afford that." So I just went.
I'm sorry, I caught myself. I almost said something very bad, but I think you get the gist.
Yeah.
I was going to say something bad, and I think that's not cool.
Yeah, it's different because I'm a guy who's like 6'9" and I got the basketball hands. So I have my boss, who's a guitar player, is like, dude, you got to pick up the bass because a guy with guys with bigger hands played the bass, or that seems like it'd be easier, sort of thing. But
yeah, well, you know, that doesn't size doesn't always mean that you're going to be good at something,
right?
You know, how many times do you see some of these gigantic guys in the NBA that just look like storks out there?
Right, and that's why I'm doing radio now.
Did you play b-ball?
I played b-ball all throughout college. I stopped my second year because it got really just based off of politics and stuff. They had these guys come in, they recruited, and a lot of these guys that I ended up guarding were like 7'2", 300 pounds. I'm like, I am a strong dude, but I can't stop these guys. And they're shooting the ball over me, and you got to be the one of the 1%. And I always tell people that who like push their kids towards basketball. Just like I was born tall.
Sport.
Yeah, any sport. Baseball, I would think would be the hardest. But even just these guys that I used to have across the street neighbor that were pushing their kids who are like 5'8" already, and they're in high school. The parents are about 5'9". I'm like, you're not going to be doing so well in football, to be quite honest, unless you can run.
Or hockey. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hockey even, too. Like, my friends were all into hockey, and I the guy who was my height, Zdeno Chara, just retired, and he played 20 years in the league. And it's like, that height in hockey doesn't really help you out all that much because I'm like Bambi on skates. I'd be terrible.
That's funny.
Just because with your legacy and all that, do you ever get these newer bands coming up to you and go like, do you have any advice for us? Because I know we have like Bad Omens, Sleep Token, even Spirit Box, just all of a sudden going big time into the spotlight. Do you ever see them asking for advice from you or any other band out there?
Well, I don't know those guys. Cool name for Bad Omen. I don't know the other band that you mentioned. We just did something recently where I think I saw Bad Omen's name on the day sheet. I would love to meet these guys, but you know, a lot of times they just keep their distance. I don't know. I think they're afraid to come around. That we won't let anybody come back and hang out. And I mean, it's just the opposite. You know, we're there to have fun and to party and to, you know, I mean, not get wasted on drugs and stuff like that, but just to celebrate life and metal and have people walk away saying, that is the most intense guitar playing I've ever seen in my life.
Thank you so very much, Dave, for joining me today. I really appreciate it. And I'm so excited to see you guys tonight. I think this is my third time seeing you. And last time I saw you was in Salt Lake City when you guys had technical difficulties before Five Finger Death Punch.
Yeah.
But I'm very excited for the Portnoy. I know a lot of our listeners are all very excited. And I, again, just thank you for even calling into the show today. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Anytime, buddy. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.